This is Oklahoma's Talk Radio, the new Freedom 96.9. Join the conversation by calling 405-608-4377. Local news, Oklahoma politics and events. This is Freedom's First News with Aaron Brillbeck.
And a good Thursday morning to you, Friday Eve. It's September 3rd, 2026, 76 degrees outside under clear, sunny skies at 7:06. If you want to be part of the show today, like the guy with the big voice said, give us a call, 405-608-4377, 405-608-4377 is the number to dial. And we've got a whole bunch we want to talk about this morning. We definitely want you to weigh in. A local high school student is in serious trouble this morning after bringing a gun to school. What investigators are saying about the case? Oklahoma's medical marijuana industry is going to pot, what the numbers reveal. Copper theft is surging here in Oklahoma, the reason for the increase in crime. Midwest City is looking at new rules for data centers. We'll talk to you a bit about that proposal. A local grandma wants human remains to be DNA tested to try to solve a 31-year-old mystery. We'll talk about that one, too. But first, your Freedom First News on Freedom 96.9. A Shawnee High School student was detained on Wednesday after police found a firearm inside the student's vehicle. The Shawnee Police Department says officers were called to the school after staff learned the student had a bullet. Police met with the student and the student's guardian before searching the vehicle where they found the gun. The student was detained as the investigation continues. Because the student is a juvenile, police say no additional information will be released. Officials have not indicated whether the firearm was brought onto school property or whether anyone was threatened or injured. A Logan County man who volunteered with a church youth choir is facing child pornography charges. The Logan County Sheriff's Office says Timothy Keene was arrested and booked into the county jail earlier this week. Court documents allege the crimes occurred in December of 2025. The church, located in Oklahoma City, sent a letter to members saying the clergy received no information that any crimes were committed there at the church. Church officials also say Keene passed multiple background screenings over the years. He was immediately removed from all volunteer roles following his arrest. So far, the Logan County District Attorney has not filed a probable cause affidavit. Oklahoma's medical marijuana industry is shrinking dramatically. The state once had 9,000 licensed marijuana growers. Today, state data shows fewer than 2,000 remain, a drop of more than 80%. Regulators and the Oklahoma Bureau of Narcotics say aggressive enforcement is driving out criminal operations that used medical marijuana licenses to traffic product out of the state. But legitimate growers say they're being unfairly lumped in with criminals. The crackdown comes as Governor Kevin Stitt calls marijuana a major public safety threat and urges voters to shut down the state's medical marijuana program. Well, copper theft is surging across the country, and Oklahoma ranks sixth in the nation. The state has recorded about 300 copper thefts so far this year. A recent operation by the Oklahoma City Police and the Agriculture Department recovered nearly 2,400 pounds of stolen copper wire from area recycling centers, with another 300 pounds recovered in Tulsa. Officials say rising copper prices and strong demand are fueling the thefts, but stealing the wire can be deadly, with thieves risking electrocution and damaging critical communications lines, including those used by 911 centers. AT&T is now offering a $10,000 reward for information that leads to arrests. Midwest City is considering some new rules for future data centers, addressing concerns about zoning, water use, electricity demand, and noise. The proposed ordinance would require special use permits and limit data centers to industrial districts. Facilities under 100,000 square feet would have to be at least 500 feet from homes, while larger centers would require a 1,000-foot buffer. Developers would also have to disclose water and power needs, wastewater output, and backup generators while conducting noise studies before and after construction. City Manager Tim Lyon says no developers have approached the city just yet. The City Council is expected to consider the rules on September 22nd. The Oklahoma Turnpike Authority is moving ahead with its self-extension turnpike without two planned interchanges in Norman, though. City Council rejected resolutions approving the interchanges. OTA says without city approval, it cannot transfer right-of-way and maintenance responsibilities. The agency says the interchanges could be added later, but a much higher cost to the city. The $8.2 billion access program will connect I-40 and I-35, while opponents continue raising concerns about the turnpike's impact on property values, quality of life, and the environment. Central Oklahoma leaders say the region's future growth will depend heavily on transportation and Tinker Air Force Base. At the Greater Oklahoma City Chamber's State of the Region, business and military leaders highlighted Tinker's more than 26,000 employees and its role in national defense. They also backed projects like the proposed One Transit commuter rail connecting downtown Oklahoma City with Tinker and Will Rogers Airport. Chamber leaders say the region has added about 90,000 residents and 83,000 jobs in only 5 years, and protecting that momentum will require continued investment in infrastructure, transportation, and the defense industry. Well, Oklahoma just wrapped up one of its hottest and driest August ever. Oklahoma City averaged 101.6 degrees, its third hottest August on record, while Lawton averaged nearly 105 degrees. And with just 0.18 inches of rain, Oklahoma City also had its third driest August ever. The National Weather Service says drought is worsening, especially in western Oklahoma, and the heat could continue for several more weeks. Meteorologists warn that means that continued heat stress and an increased risk of wildfires are seriously impacting the area. They're urging Oklahomans to stay hydrated, take breaks from the heat, and avoid anything that could spark a fire. Well, a 31-year-old mystery from Oklahoma City bombing is back in court. Kathy Sanders, whose two young grandsons were among the victims, is suing for permission to conduct DNA testing on an unidentified leg known as Part 71. The chief medical examiner says an earlier DNA test was inconclusive and the remaining tissue is extremely small, making additional testing risky. Sanders believes the leg could belong to an unidentified victim or even a co-conspirator. The FBI has long maintained only Timothy McVeigh and Terry Nichols were involved. Now Sanders wants DNA technology to finally answer the question, whose leg is it? So let's talk about this one. We definitely want you to weigh in because pretty much everybody remembers where they were on that day. A lot of us know people that were at the Murrah Federal Building during the explosion or near the Federal Building. And a lot of us lost people who we cared about in that explosion. So this impacts everybody. 405-608-4377, 405-608-4377, if you want to be part of the conversation. If the technology exists right now to potentially identify an unknown piece of evidence from the worst domestic terror attack in American history, shouldn't authorities at least exhaust every scientifically responsible option before saying no? And importantly, DNA testing, it's not about validating any conspiracy theory. It's about establishing a fact. If the leg belongs to a known victim, testing could help to confirm that. If it belongs to somebody else, we need to know that too. Either way, the public gets an answer in this case. So 31 years, that's more than long enough to leave a question like this unanswered. Part 71 has remained unidentified since the bombing. If modern DNA technology can potentially provide an answer, why not try? Give us a call if you want to weigh in. 405-608-4377, the number to dial, 405-608-4377. It's 76 degrees under clear skies at 714. We're talking about an Oklahoma City grandmother who wants a body part that was recovered after the bombing in Oklahoma City to be DNA tested. It's been tested once before. The test came back as inconclusive, but technology has changed since then. And it's time to probably do this. 31 years is long enough to leave a question like this unanswered. The part, which is called Part 71, has remained unidentified. If modern DNA technology can potentially provide an answer, why not at least give it a try? Now, I understand that the part that we're talking about, we're saying that it's a leg, but in terms of the actual usable material on it, it's about the size of a nickel, maybe a little bit smaller than a nickel. And anytime that you do any type of DNA testing, there's potential for damaging that. So it's pretty important that we maintain it, but at the same time, technology has really changed. We've got Stretch calling from UConn right now. He wanted to talk about this child pornography case. Hey, Stretch, how are you, man?
I'm good, sir. How are you?
I'm doing very well, thanks.
Well, this kind of hits a nerve because it's something we hear of every couple of months. And I'm a part of an organization called the Oklahoma Safety Coalition. Mm-hmm. And we actually come alongside churches and help them put together some different checks and balances, some trainings and things like that to kind of be on the lookout for these things. But I'm amazed as I've traveled all across our state of how many churches don't even do background checks. And that's one thing that I was glad to hear in your news there, that they had actually done background checks. But then again, it's what's reported and what's actually dealt with. And I really want to encourage people, if you see something, say something. The Protect OK app is a great option to use as well. But it's a tragedy anytime something like this happens. But the Oklahoma Safety Coalition is here, and we help people all the time be able to put some things in place to help prevent this kind of disastrous occurrences.
Yeah, and I certainly appreciate it. But you're right. Even with the background checks, the problem with the background checks is that they only turn up something if you've been caught, if you've been arrested, if you face charges. And sometimes that gives us almost a false sense of security. So like you said, you see something a little bit creepy going on with a guy at church or a guy at the school or whatever, and you think, well, I'm not going to report it because the guy's gone through background tests. It's probably just me. Like you said, right. See something, say something. And trust the spider sense, too. If something feels wrong, it probably is wrong.
Yeah, we often say, and I'm former law enforcement, we often say if something doesn't look right, we call it the, you know, DLR, then it's at least something worth noting. And that's one of the things I commend our state for doing, is putting that Protect OK app, because it's great. It's free app to where people can anonymously put information in there, and it's actually dealt with, and it records things like this, and let them decide whether it's worthy or not, but at least it's recorded to where multiple agencies have access to it.
Hey, and while I got you on the line, let me pick your brain on something else since we're on the topic. A judge recently ruled that AI-generated child pornography is protected speech under the First Amendment. What are your thoughts on that?
I completely disagree.
Why?
Because if it's out there, the effects that it has on somebody doesn't change where it comes from. And the fact that they're able to create that kind of material and the results that it has is stuff that, you know, by the term, you know, can really never be changed. So I really don't think that that it should be able to be out there.
And my bigger concern with it is that if it's legalized, it normalizes this type of behavior. And that's the part that really scares the hell out of me.
Well, and you look what the cannabis has done, and now we have all of these people from other places, parts unknown, coming in, and not only are they destroying the economy, but they're destroying, you know, the environments and the business stuff in these towns. And I tell you, it's it may be good for a moment, but, you know, there's always a price to pay, and somebody's going to have to pay it.
You're absolutely right. Stretch, thanks a lot for calling, man. I really appreciate you. And if you want to be part of the show today, give us a call. 405-608-4377 is the number to dial. 405-608-4377. Well, like we mentioned, Midwest City is considering some new rules for data centers that include special use permits, industrial zoning, some buffers for homes. Developers also want to have disclose water use, power needs, conduct noise studies, that type of thing. Let's talk about that. I know there's still a lot of you out there that are leery about these data centers. Would these proposals be enough to sway you? We want to hear from you. 405-608-4377, 405-608-4377. 76 degrees outside right now under clear sunny skies at 719. You're listening to Freedom's First News with Aaron Brolbeck on Freedom 96.9.
Freedom.
Traffic.
We now take you to our eye in the sky.
Traffic brought to you by Service Pro Plumbing. They can't fix the traffic, but they can fix your plumbing. Call today or visit serviceprookc.com. Taking a look into Freedom Traffic. Got a couple of construction problems causing issues. Bridge work eastbound I-44 at Klassen, May, and Northwest Expressway. Also, construction on Danforth between Santa Fe and Kelly.
From the Strait of Hormuz to the Oklahoma City oil field, we're the local talk station you can depend on. The new Freedom 96.9. Freedom969.com and on the Freedom app.
Hey, I'm here with Stephen Smith, owner of ICS Concrete Coatings in Oklahoma City. Stephen, what makes ICS the top choice for concrete floors?
At ICS, we use polyurea coatings. It's four times stronger than traditional epoxy. They're resistant to scratches, oil stains, and even UV fading, making them ideal for garages, patios, or even commercial spaces. Plus, they come with a lifetime warranty for homeowners.
Now that's some tough stuff. So how do these coatings hold up in Oklahoma's crazy weather?
Man, they're built for it. Crack resistant and able to handle extreme heat or cold. And the best part, our polyurea cures in hours, so your floor is ready the next day with no downtime.
Wow, fast and durable. That's a winning combo. What's the first step for listeners?
Just give us a call for a free, no-obligation estimate, and we'll customize the solution for your space.
All right, guys, don't wait. Transform your floors with ICS Concrete Coatings. Give them a call at 405-403-4012 or visit icsconcretecoatings.com for your free estimate today.
Wildfire season is approaching in Oklahoma, and our local volunteer fire departments need support now. As conditions grow hotter and drier, volunteer firefighters are preparing for long, demanding responses to keep our community safe. They rely on donations of bottled water, electrolyte drinks, and non-perishable snacks to stay fueled on the fire line. Monetary donations are also critical to help provide the tools and resources they need. If you see your local volunteer fire departments hosting a fundraiser or any other community event, don't wait. Show up and support them. This message is brought to you by the Oklahoma State Firefighters Association, standing with those who stand ready to protect us.
Consider this an invitation to listen to my personal financial advisor, Mike McGuire of McGuire Capital's financial show, Bull and Bear. Hey, it's Lee Matthews, and you can hear it every Saturday from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. right here on Freedom 96.9. Get to know Michael and then set an appointment where he can get to know you and your family and your retirement goals, just like he did me. Together, you can get to and through your retirement goals. In my case, sooner than you think. Tune into Saturday's Bull and Bear Show, 10 a.m. to 1, right here on Freedom 96.9.
From wars in the Middle East to conflicts at home, we're the only station you need to stay informed. We're the new Freedom 96.9, freedom969.com, and on the Freedom app.
Hey, Oklahoma, this is Dana Lash, host of The Dana Show. I'll be bringing you the latest news you won't hear anywhere else
every weekday starting at 2 p.m. This is a country that was founded on rebellion, and so I feel like it's completely respectful and in keeping with our country's grand tradition of asking questions and not treating any elected officials, though they are too precious to answer said questions. You can hear me weekdays at 2 p.m. on the new Freedom 96.9 and freedom969.com.
Freedom's First News with Aaron Brillbeck.
And welcome back. It's going to be a pretty hot one today. Look for sunny, hot conditions with a high of 96 degrees tonight. Breezy and clear, low of 74. Friday, mostly sunny and hot with a high of 97. On Saturday, hot and sunny with a high of 99. For some reason, it just seems a lot cooler when you're not saying the triple digits. Even though 99 and 100 is only a 1 degree difference, for some reason you're like, oh, 99, how cool and refreshing that is. 76 degrees outside right now under clear sunny skies at 723. Somehow we've kind of gone from the direction of talking about DNA testing to sex offenders, which is kind of a gross turn of events, but certainly willing to talk about it. It's your show, not mine. Deanne's on the line right now from Midwest City. Good morning, Deanne.
Good morning, Aaron. Hey, thank you for addressing this. One of my very best friends at work, she handled the sex offenders, and the ones out of state are absolutely almost unmanageable because the state will not extradite them unless they have committed another felony.
Mm-hmm.
They are so hard to catch, and I would do extra visits on this one guy because I knew where he lived because we would go to the field together and stuff like that. But they can be not wanting to register, which none of them want to register.
No.
Who wants to, do that? But she hounded him for months. I don't know if she ever got him to register, but it's a law. I mean, they have to. But you write them up, and then let's say the state terminates their agreement with you. Now the person's totally unsupervised.
Right.
So you don't know what they're doing.
Right.
And I, I'm almost, I hate to do this and say this because it's not popular, I imagine, but I would almost want you to serve out your term in your sending state.
Yeah, but the problem is eventually they're going to get out. And
well, I understand that.
We know from the medical and psychological professionals that this type of attraction that they have is not something that can be quote-unquote cured.
Absolutely not.
I'd be all for chemical castration. Somebody robs a bank. Somebody robs a bank, you take away the gun, right? Somebody offends against a child, you take away the weapon. It's really that simple.
Aaron, you're a mess, but I think I like it.
Deanne, thanks for calling. It's always great hearing from you. If you want to be part of the show, please feel free to give us a shout. 405-608-4377, 405-608-4377. Well, Midwest City is considering some new rules for future data centers with requirements for special use permits and industrial zoning. Facilities under 100,000 square feet would need about a 500-foot buffer for homes, while larger centers would require 1,000 feet. Developers would also have to disclose their water and electricity demands, wastewater output, backup generators, while conducting noise studies both before and after the facility is built. So City Manager Tim Lyon says no developers have approached the city just yet. City Council is expected to consider that ordinance on September 22nd. Let's talk about this one, especially those of you who are still leery about these data centers. Would these rules be enough to put your mind at ease? And if not, what would it take for you to be on board with this? 405-608-4377 if you want to weigh in. 405-608-4377. If the data centers are coming to Oklahoma and the industry is growing, wouldn't Midwest City be better off establishing reasonable rules now and competing for those investments rather than reacting after the project is already proposed? And that's really no different than what we were just talking about a few minutes ago with the medical marijuana and State Question 788. When we passed that, it was kind of like, okay, let's pass it, and then we'll make up the rules as we go along. And that's never a good way to approach things. So I think Midwest City is right in doing this. Let's put together the rules first. And then, as we're approached by these data centers, well, they'll already know exactly what to expect and whether or not they want to set up shop here. Midwest City isn't saying no to data centers. What they're saying is, with a set of rules designed to make sure that the investment works for the city, the developer, and nearby residents, everybody's on the same page. It's not a data center ban. It's basically a roadmap. It's Midwest City saying, yep, we're open for business, but here's how you can build here. And predictability is good for business. As a business owner, you want to know exactly what it is that you're getting into. Nobody who runs a business likes any kind of surprises. 405-608-4377 if you want to be part of the show. 405-608-4377. 76 degrees outside right now under clear skies at 728. So developers generally prefer knowing the rules before they invest millions of dollars. It just makes sense. The ordinance protects residents without shutting the door on economic development. So it's a balancing act. Industrial zoning and setbacks can create separation between major facilities and neighborhoods. So for those of you who are a little bit concerned about not in my backyard, essentially this is for industrial zoning only. It wouldn't be in your backyard, but you would still reap the benefits from it as a taxpayer. Developers obviously would rather know the rules before they invest that kind of money. And what Midwest City is doing is laying down the rules, or at least a very basic set of guidelines. The ordinance would also protect residents without shutting the door for future economic development. Now, obviously, any center that comes in is going to have different demands, different sizes, different consequences. But this way, they've at least got some type of guidelines. So kudos to you, Midwest City. You're doing the right thing. Still got a whole bunch we want to talk about this morning. Definitely want you weighing in. A local high school student is in serious trouble after police found a gun in the student's vehicle. What investigators are saying about it. Oklahoma's medical marijuana industry is going up in smoke. See what I did there? The dramatic number is showing just how much the industry has shrunk, and copper theft surging in Oklahoma. We'll be talking a bit about that. You're listening to Freedom's First News with Aaron Brillbeck on Freedom 96.9.
USA Radio News. I'm John Summers. The jury in the Lindsey Clancy murder trial Wednesday was dismissed for the day as the judge tries to head off a possible mistrial. President Trump signed a stopgap funding bill, which temporarily prevents a shutdown and keeps the government open through December 11th. At least two victims are dead after several people were shot in a downtown Minneapolis apartment high-rise. Interim Minneapolis Chief of Police Bill Peterson said officers exchanged fire with the suspected shooter.
The shooter is deceased at this time. It is unknown how he died.
Six people were injured, including three police officers.
President Trump wants to keep the U.S. tourism boom going following this summer's World Cup. Trump says he warned oil executives about price gouging yesterday as gas prices continue to rise. From America's News Network, USA Radio News.
This is Noble McIntyre with the McIntyre Minute.
I represented a family after a fatal crash caused by a distracted driver. A father is driving home from work. He never made it home from work. The driver who hit him admitted he'd looked down at his phone just for a second. Just for a second. Now, there's an empty chair at every birthday. There's an empty chair at every Christmas, and there's one at every family dinner. People underestimate how dangerous distracted driving really is because everybody thinks they can multitask behind the wheel. You can't. A text message is not worth somebody's life. At McIntyre Law, we represent families whose lives change forever because somebody else made a careless decision behind the wheel. And trust me, no apology will ever fill the empty chair.
If you need me, you can find me at McIntyreLaw.com or call me at 777-7000. Catch our show, Legal Talk, with Noble McIntyre and Jeremy Thurman, Saturdays at 1 p.m. on Freedom 96.9.
I'm Noble McIntyre, and that's your McIntyre Minute.
Freedom local coverage starts now.
From the Freedom 96.9 News Center, I'm Bo B. Kraft.
Police in Shawnee detained a student after finding a firearm inside the student's vehicle at Shawnee High School earlier this week. Officers were called after school officials reported the student had a bullet and a search of the vehicle turned up a gun. The student was then taken into custody and the investigation continues. Additional details are expected in the days to come. In Pawnee, police say they've identified and questioned a person responsible for a TikTok threat targeting Pawnee Middle School. The post referenced the Cat in the Hat and included a list of about 35 students. Investigators obtained a phone number and IP address from TikTok that helped them locate the suspect. Police say threats are always taken seriously and are warning students that social media posts can be traced. Copper thefts continue increasing across the state, which now ranks sixth nationally and has recorded about 300 thefts so far this year. A joint operation involving Oklahoma City Police and the Oklahoma Department of Ag, Food, and Forestry recovered about 2,400 pounds of stolen copper wire from area recycling centers. AT&T says high copper prices and demand are contributing to the problem, which can also disrupt phone, internet, and emergency services. They're offering a $10,000 reward for any info leading to arrests and convictions.
That's the latest from the Freedom 96.9 News Center on Oklahoma's Talk Radio. Your Oklahoma City Freedom Forecast is next.
Gentlemen, this Saturday, over 180 head will sell at the 27th Annual Oklahoma Angus Association Gathering Sale. Make plans now to be at the Carroll Cattle Company Sale Facility near Perkins. The OAA Gathering Sale will include 70 registered Angus lots and 100 commercial Angus and black Baldy spring calving bred heifers. Most are AI bred to calve early spring. This is a high-quality consignment you don't want to miss. The Oklahoma Angus Association Gathering Sale this Saturday at noon. For more information and to view the catalog, visit mcsauction.com.
My love, you've done it. You slayed the beast.
Indeed, princess. Well, what's this? You're injured.
I am, but I know the cure.
Pray tell.
Journey to Reno and Sarah Road to the place they call Okie Dokie Bakery.
What?
I need a dozen cookies at least. Cupcakes, macarons.
Are you sure?
They are delicious. Just what I need.
We ride to Okie Dokie.
Okie Dokie Bakery. Visit OkieDokieBakery.com.
Looking for a great deal on your next firearm? Then don't miss the used gun flash sale at H&H Shooting Sports. I'm Lee Matthews. It's going on Labor Day through Wednesday. Take 15% off all in-stock used firearms. Save big on a huge selection of used handguns, rifles, shotguns, and more. Hurry, this is a three-day only event, and when they're gone, they're gone. The used gun flash sale going on Labor Day through Wednesday only at H&H Shooting Sports, just off I-40 and Meridian.
Uncontrolled bleeding can become life-threatening in just minutes. But the right actions can save a life. Hi, this is Major Meredith with the Oklahoma City Fire Department. Our Stop the Bleed class teaches you how to recognize life-threatening bleeding and control it using direct pressure, wound packing, and tourniquets until help arrives. This hands-on training gives everyday people the skills to act in emergency. Visit okc.gov/fire for more information on how to schedule this free training for your business, group, or organization.
Freedom.
Weather.
Here's your Oklahoma City AccuWeather forecast. Today will be hot with plenty of sunshine, becoming breezy in the afternoon with a high of 96. Tonight, expect breezy conditions in the evening, otherwise clear and humid with a low of 74. Tomorrow will be mostly sunny, breezy, and hot with a high of 97. Saturday will have blazing sunshine and toasty conditions with a high of 99. Sunday will be partly sunny and hot with a high of 99. With your Oklahoma City AccuWeather forecast, I'm meteorologist Jason Caterina.
Freedom's First News with Aaron Brillbeck. Join the conversation by calling 405-608-4377 on the new Freedom 96.9.
And welcome back. 76 degrees under clear sunny skies at 736. Yep, hang on. There's the hotline. Let me grab that. Hi, Freedom 96.9.
Hey, Aaron, you're not on the radio, are you?
Actually, great.
Okay. I got some hot jokes for you. I tell you, it's hot out there. It's so hot. The cows are producing evaporated milk. It's so hot the chickens are laying hard-boiled eggs. I'll tell you, it's so hot the birds are using oven mitts to pull worms out of the ground. It's so hot that everyone's wearing sweatpants. I'm telling you, it's so hot, Aaron. It's hot out there. I bought a loaf of bread, and by the time I got home, it was toast. I got to go. Bye.
Glad you got to go. Let's check out your Freedom First News now on Freedom 96.9. A Shawnee High School student was detained on Wednesday after police found a firearm inside the student's vehicle. Police say officers were called to the school after the staff learned that the student had a bullet. Officers met with the student and the student's guardian before searching the vehicle where they found the gun. The student was detained while the investigation continues. Now, because the student is a juvenile, police are not releasing additional information. It's also unclear whether the gun was brought onto school property or whether anyone was threatened or injured. A Logan County man who volunteered with a church youth choir is facing child pornography charges. The Logan County Sheriff's Office says Timothy Keene was arrested and booked into the jail earlier this week. Court documents allege the crimes occurred back in December of 2025. The Oklahoma City Church says clergy have received no information that any crimes were committed there at the church. Church officials say Keene passed multiple background screenings over the years. He was immediately removed from his volunteer positions and following his arrest. So far, the Logan County DA has not filed a probable cause affidavit. Copper theft is surging across the country, and Oklahoma ranks number 6 in the nation for it. The state has recorded about 300 copper thefts so far this year. A recent operation by Oklahoma City Police and the Agriculture Department recovered about 2,400 pounds of stolen copper wire from area recycling centers, with another 300 pounds recovered in Tulsa. Officials say rising copper prices and demand are fueling the thefts, but stealing the wire can be deadly, with thieves risking electrocution and damaging critical communications lines, including those used by 911 centers. AT&T is offering a $10,000 reward for information that leads to arrests. Midwest City is considering new rules for future data centers, addressing concerns about zoning, water use, electricity demand, and noise. The proposed ordinance would require special use permits and limit data centers to industrial districts. Facilities under 100,000 square feet would need to be at least 500 feet from homes, while larger centers would require a 1,000-foot buffer. Developers would also have to discuss water and power needs, wastewater output, and backup generators, and conduct noise studies. City Manager Tim Lyon says no developers have approached the city just yet. The council is expected to consider the rules on September 22nd. The Oklahoma Turnpike Authority is moving ahead with its self-extension turnpike, but without two planned interchanges in Norman. City Council rejected resolutions approving those interchanges. OTA says without city approval, it cannot transfer right-of-way and maintenance responsibilities to Norman. The agency says the interchanges could still be added later on, but at a much higher cost to the city. The $8.2 billion access program will connect I-40 to I-35. Meanwhile, opponents continue raising concerns about the turnpike's impact on property values, quality of life, and the environment. Central Oklahoma leaders say the region's future growth will depend heavily on transportation and Tinker Air Force Base. At the Greater Oklahoma City Chamber's State of the Region, Business and military leaders highlighted Tinker's more than 26,000 employees and its critical role in national defense. They also backed projects like the proposed One Transit commuter rail connecting downtown Oklahoma City with Tinker and Will Rogers Airport. Chamber leaders say the region has added about 90,000 residents and 83,000 jobs in about 5 years. They say maintaining that momentum will require continued investment in transportation, infrastructure, and defense industry. Oklahoma just wrapped up one of its hottest and driest Augusts ever. Oklahoma City averaged 101.6 degrees, its third hottest August on record, while Lawton averaged nearly 105 degrees. And with just 0.18 inches of rain, Oklahoma City also had its third driest August ever. The National Weather Service says drought conditions are worsening, especially in western Oklahoma, and the heat could continue for several more weeks. Meteorologists warn that means continued heat stress and increased wildfire risk. They're urging Oklahomans to stay hydrated, take breaks from the heat, and avoid anything that could spark a fire. A 31-year-old mystery from the Oklahoma City bombing is back in court. Kathy Sanders, whose two young grandsons were among the victims, is suing for permission to conduct DNA testing on an unidentified leg known as Part 71. The chief medical examiner says an earlier DNA test was inconclusive and the remaining tissue is extremely small, making additional testing very risky. Sanders believes the leg could belong to an unidentified victim or possibly even a co-conspirator. The FBI has long maintained only Timothy McVeigh and Terry Nichols were involved in the bombing. Sanders wants to know, wants modern DNA technology to finally answer that question, whose leg is it? Oklahoma's medical marijuana industry is shrinking dramatically. The state once had about 9,000 licensed marijuana grows. Today, fewer than 2,000 remain, a drop of more than 80%. Regulators and the Oklahoma Bureau of Narcotics say aggressive enforcement is driving out criminal operations that use medical marijuana licenses to move product out of state, but legitimate growers say they're being unfairly lumped in with the criminals. The crackdown comes as Governor Kevin Stitt is calling marijuana a major public safety threat and is urging voters to shut down Oklahoma's medical marijuana program. So let's talk about this one a little bit. We certainly want to hear from you on this. The medical marijuana industry going to pot. See what I did there? 405-608-4377 if you want to voice your concerns about this. 405-608-4377. Let's face it. The legislature blew it. The initial regulatory structure was inadequate, is probably an understatement, for the size and speed of the industry that Oklahoma created. As soon as we passed 788 with very, very little regulation and very, very small fees to start operations, growers were coming in from all over the nation. And because there were no limits on how many growers we could bring in, it was basically land run part two with marijuana. So the state legislature's Office of Fiscal Transparency found that State Question 788 did not provide any adequate regulatory structure for public safety, for illegal activity, for enforcement, for compliance. All the things that should have been written into this bill long before we voted on the bill, none of them were done. And Oklahoma's four-month implementation was the fastest among the states that it reviewed. So we really didn't take our time in putting this thing together. From the state legislature standpoint, it was, hey, this is a money grab. Let's make as much money off this as quickly as we can. And regulations, we'll worry about that. As we see problems develop, we'll write legislation to address those problems. Well, that never really happened. And consequently, we've had this huge surge in marijuana growers here. We've seen a huge surge in crime associated with that. And we became the major provider of marijuana, illegal marijuana, to the entire nation because we didn't want to take the time to do this properly. And because my guess is we were more interested in the green. And I'm not talking about the weed. We're talking about the cash. Oklahoma essentially opened up its doors long before it built the house. So State Question 788, it gave policymakers only 60 days to establish the regulatory office. That left very little time to develop any type of comprehensive regulatory system that other states had put in place before launching the programs. And as the state was first looking into this, I know the legislature and members of the legislature had talked with other states about what they've done, what worked, what didn't work. We just decided not to really implement any of it before launching this program. 60 days to establish the regulatory office. That's not even enough time to paint the walls and get the furniture put in. 60 days. And it's taken us this long now in order to finally get a handle on this. The original system was designed for access, easy access for people who wanted to open up these pot shops. It wasn't necessarily set up for oversight. Oklahoma deliberately created a very accessible market. It had very, very low licensing barriers. There were no limits on the number of business licenses and minimal enforcement of the industry's early years. It was pretty much a free-for-all. Again, if you want to weigh in on this, we want to hear from you. 405-608-4377 is the number to dial. 405-608-4377. 76 degrees outside under sunny skies at 745. We're talking about the state's medical marijuana industry and how we've seen an 80% drop in the number of grows in Oklahoma since its inception. And the reason for that is that we're really starting to finally crack down on these illegal operations. And to see an 80% drop tells you just how many illegal operations there were. The consequences of the approach that the legislature took towards this really quickly became obvious. Oklahoma went from essentially zero commercial marijuana industry to thousands of grows and businesses in a very, very short period of time. You couldn't walk a block without seeing five or six marijuana dispensaries. And it's still the case. You still see a lot of these dispensaries, but we're not seeing nearly the number that we did before. Regulators at that point were trying to figure out just how to police such an enormous industry, especially when it was so remarkably understaffed. And how do you police it after it's already operating? How do you enforce rules that haven't been created yet? And once those rules are created, how do you get the word out to these dispensaries exactly what those new rules are? Some of the safeguards that people now take for granted weren't there at the beginning. So the legislature, for example, did not require that electronic seed-to-sale tracking system until, geez, it must have been about 2019, 2018, 2019. And that was after the industry was already well established. It wasn't even put into place until 2022. So think about what that means. For years, Oklahoma was trying to regulate the movement of marijuana without having the statewide tracking system that it needed to ultimately decide what was necessary, what wasn't necessary. The testing requirement also had to be strengthened after the rollout. The 2019 legislation established requirements for laboratories to test marijuana batches before a sale, along with stronger packaging and labeling requirements and expanded inspection authority. The state itself eventually acknowledged that coordination between agencies was a problem. They simply weren't communicating with one another. Loft found that agencies involved in law enforcement, taxation, and environmental regulation really weren't operating under a developed, standardized framework for communication and data sharing. They weren't talking with one another about what they were seeing, what intelligence they were gathering, who these criminals might be, and where they might be from. And that helps to explain today's massive crackdown. This argument isn't necessarily that every marijuana business was bad. It's that Oklahoma created an extraordinarily large industry with comparatively weak safeguards, creating plenty of opportunities for legitimate operators, but also for criminal enterprises. Oklahoma eventually had to build up the enforcement system while fighting the problem that it created. OMMA later on down the road added stronger inspection authority. They finally did the seed-to-sale tracking, the testing requirements, the data analytics designed to identify diversion, suspicious financial relationships, all those other anomalies that we see in illegal trafficking of drugs. They didn't put into place until way after this whole system had begun. And again, from the get-go, it sounded like, let's just get as much money as we can, as quickly as we can, and the hell with the consequences. A 31-year-old mystery from the Oklahoma City bombing is back in court. A grandmother of two young victims is suing to have DNA testing done on an unidentified leg. Previous testing was inconclusive. She says the modern technology could finally determine whether it belongs to a victim or to somebody else involved in the bombing. You've heard the conspiracy theories that there were more people involved in the bombing. Do you think that DNA testing on the leg could finally put those theories to rest? Would you like to see the additional testing? Or, after 31 years, is it time to finally let the victim, whose remains these are, finally rest? 405-608-4377 if you want to be part of the show. 405-608-4377. 76 degrees and sunny at 750. You're listening to Freedom's First News with Aaron Brillbeck on Freedom 96.9.
Freedom.
Traffic. Traffic.
We now take you to our eye in the sky.
Traffic brought to you by Service Pro Plumbing. They can't fix the traffic, but they can fix your plumbing. Call today or visit serviceprookc.com. Taking a look into Freedom traffic. Got a couple of construction problems causing issues. Bridge work eastbound I-44 at Klassen, May, and Northwest Expressway. Also, construction on Danforth between Santa Fe and Kelly.
Only one station has the power to cover Oklahoma with freedom. And you're listening to it. Your 100,000-watt talker is the new Freedom 96.9 and Freedom969.com.
Hi, this is Jamie with Discount Garage Door, and we've got some amazing specials going on our stock doors. Right now, get an 8x7 garage door installed for just $10.99, a 16x7 for $16.99, or get the door and motor combo for just $23.99. These prices are out the door, installed, and every job comes with a 5-year warranty on all parts and labor. Give us a call at 525-DOOR or visit us at discountgaragedoor.com.
Fall is on the way at Cimarron Casino, so it's time to whip up some fun and stir up some excitement with September Money Mix. Thursdays in September, 5 to 9 p.m., you could be selected to win one of 10 drawings to get in the mix for a chance to win your share of $36,000 in cash and gift cards. Start earning entries on September 1st. Mix it up with September Money Mix, only at Cimarron Casino, where every day is payday.
Hey, I'm here with Stephen Smith, owner of ICS Concrete Coatings in Oklahoma City. Stephen, what makes ICS the top choice for concrete floors?
At ICS, we use polyurea coatings. It's 4 times stronger than traditional epoxy. They're resistant to scratches, oil stains, and even UV fading, making them ideal for garages, patios, or even commercial spaces. Plus, they come with a lifetime warranty for homeowners.
Now that's some tough stuff. So how do these coatings hold up in Oklahoma's crazy weather?
Man, they're built for it. Crack resistant and able to handle extreme heat or cold. And the best part, our polyurea cures in hours, so your floor is ready the next day with no downtime.
Wow, fast and durable. That's a winning combo. What's the first step for listeners?
Just give us a call for a free, no obligation estimate, and we'll customize the solution for your space.
All right, guys, don't wait. Transform your floors with ICS Concrete Coatings. Give them a call at 405-403-4012 or visit icsconcretecoatings.com for your free estimate today.
Foundation Church is launching in Mustang, Oklahoma. We are built on Jesus, growing together and making an impact. Join us Sundays at 10 a.m. and be part of what God is building. Visit foundationchurch.live for more details.
It's Brian Kilmeade.
But Iran and Oman will take part in a revenue-sharing agreement as part of an interim deal to reopen the control of the Strait of Hormuz. That's a non-starter. What are you even doing? Number one, Oman's supposed to be an ally of ours, and you'd worked out a toll-sharing, revenue-sharing agreement with this outlaw nation, Iran? I mean, that is subversive.
The Brian Kilmeade Show, weekdays 8 to 11 a.m. on the new Freedom 96.9. Freedom's First News with Aaron Brillbeck. Join the conversation by calling 405-608-4377.
A good Thursday morning and welcome back. Finally, we're cooling down just a little bit outside. And by that, I mean we're not reaching the triple digits. Today, sunny and hot with a high of 96 degrees. Tonight, breezy and clear, low of 74. On Friday, mostly sunny and hot with a high of 97. Then on Saturday, hot and sunny, high of 99 degrees, 76 degrees and sunny, very pleasant morning this morning at 7:54. So a 31-year-old mystery from Oklahoma City bombing is back in court. A grandmother of two young victims is suing to have DNA testing done on an unidentified leg. Previous testing was inconclusive. She says modern technology could finally determine whether it belongs to a victim or somebody else who may have been involved in the bombing. So let's talk a bit about that. What are your thoughts? Should these remains be retested? 405-608-4377 if you want to be part of the show, 405-608-4377. If this were any other cold case, we'd be demanding that investigators use every single available technology to try to identify the remains. So why should this piece of evidence from the Oklahoma City bombing be any different? Test it. Do it carefully. Use the best technology available. But if DNA confirms that it belongs to a known victim, we've answered a 31-year-old question. If it doesn't, we've uncovered information that could be enormously important. Either way, we learned something, and after 31 years, the families and the public deserve to have every question answered. 31 years is a long time. An unidentified piece of human remains from the Oklahoma City bombings should not be sitting in question if modern science can potentially identify it. And I understand, again, when we're talking about this being a leg, we're not talking about a whole leg here. What we're talking about in terms of usable DNA material is about the size of a nickel, maybe a little bit smaller. And oftentimes when you do DNA testing, you can destroy some of that evidence. That's the concern, and I certainly get that concern. And part of me says, well, hang on to it a little bit longer. Technology is evolving so quickly that we might have even better DNA testing in another few years. But the other part of me says, if we can get answers now, let's get answers now. The previous test was inconclusive. It wasn't definitive. An old DNA test failed to produce identification. But just because of that, that doesn't mean that today's technology will fail. And tomorrow's technology may be even better. DNA technology has advanced enormously, even in recent years. Techniques like forensic genetic genealogy have solved cold cases involving remains that had gone unidentified for decades. The state should determine whether those advances can be safely applied here rather than just kind of blowing this off. More importantly, the public deserves to know whose remains were recovered from the building. This isn't just about one family here. The bombing killed 168 people, and identifying every possible victim is part of not just completing the historical record, but also putting those 168 people to rest and also giving their families some level of closure. So there's an even bigger reason to test it. What if it isn't a victim? Authorities have never conclusively established whose leg it was. What if this grandmother is right and the DNA points to somebody who is not among the known victims? That's information that investigators and historians and family members and survivors need to have. Was somebody else killed? Was there 169 people killed in the bombing and not 168? And could this person have had a hand in the cause of it? Was it more than just the two people that were identified, Timothy McVeigh and Terry Nichols? Was there a third person? This will, if that is just a conspiracy theory, if that is just a tinfoil hat type of thing, this will put that to rest, and this will end any of those questions should we finally get some answers on this. The testing doesn't prove a conspiracy theory, but it could end this one. If the DNA identifies the leg as belonging to a known victim, that's evidence supporting the conventional explanation that we've heard so far. But if it doesn't match, authorities have got to confront that fact. They shouldn't decide in advance what the answer is simply because the alternative might be uncomfortable. The argument that testing could damage the evidence, that deserves consideration. But it shouldn't end this discussion right now. The first step should be determining whether experts can develop a testing strategy that minimizes the risk to the tiny remaining sample that we've got here. Preserving the evidence is also important, but so is using the evidence. Keeping that tiny piece of tissue indefinitely won't solve the mystery. The goal should be finding the safest, scientifically valid way to learn all we can about it. Well, thanks so much for joining us on this Thursday for Freedom's First News with Aaron Brillbeck on Freedom 96.9.